Welcome to Sparking Success with Aaron Opalewski. Aaron brings you conversations that spark innovation, cultivate leadership skills, and pave the way for your business success. In each episode, we delve into the dynamic world of business and leadership, exploring strategies, insights, and success stories that fuel your professional journey. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to Sparking Success. My name is EJ, and I'm here with Aaron Opalewski, CEO of Spark Companies. And today on Sparking Success, not only do we want to talk about, we were just joking about this. Let's just go back and forth. You say it out loud, Aaron, so that I say it again the same way you want to say it.
EBITDA.
EBITDA. So
that's how I say it. If you want to say it a different way, go ahead.
I think everybody says it differently, but probably not. It's probably just my lack of business acumen. So I'm excited about this one. But I do want to start off by saying, a bunch of episodes are out. I don't know how many, have already listened to the podcast. Maybe they're just checking on this one because the title or the topic hit them. But we've just seen and heard great things. I've absolutely loved doing this with you now, 8, 10, 12 episodes in, and I'm excited for this one today. I'll give everybody just a brief overview. You know, we've talked about feedback loops. We've talked about knowing your numbers. We've talked about gross profit. We've talked about culture, and we've talked about your journey as a business owner. People have heard from some of the different talent acquisition aspects that you've talked through. And today, honestly, as we look at all things, I'll just say money or, one of the most vital parts of running a business. Aaron, why was this so important to chat about on Sparking Success today?
Well, you go back to knowing your numbers and, we talked about it in the general sense, and there's, your monthly numbers, daily numbers. This is a key number.
Yeah.
In my opinion, when I'm looking at how a business is doing, evaluation, if we're trying to figure out how to value the business, looking at EBITDA is the key number that I like to look at.
Yeah.
So if you want, I can break down the acronym and we can kind of go into
whatever. Why don't you? But after you do, why don't you dive into the aspect of why you do feel like it's so important? Sure. Because I think one of the things that makes this podcast, again, unique, and we've said this a number of times, I think I'm going to keep saying it as we record, all these episodes, is that it's beyond theory, that this is practice. So yeah. It's become more and more important to you as you own and run multiple businesses and partners in different businesses. So I want to hear a little bit about that, but break down the acronym for us and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, so you got earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization.
Yep.
So, for us, in our businesses, services businesses, we don't amortize a lot.
Yeah.
So I have less exposure to that in the businesses that we've merged with or started.
Yep.
Or where we're tracking this. So maybe at some point we'll revisit the topic and bring someone on that has more exposure to that part. Because just, I'd like to learn more about it as well.
Right.
But, in all of our businesses, and really the whole strategy behind our portfolio of companies is tied to this EBITDA number.
Okay.
And so that's the acronym. To break it down on why this is important, the way I look at it is this is how profitable a business is, how much money the business makes, or there's always potential. You hope you're looking at a business that has potential to make more money, but potential within the business to maybe tweak some things and help it make even more money or have more of that number where you keep, right?
So, got it.
Key part I think about that is assets being depreciated and then interest, right? So a lot of the businesses that we look at might be leveraging higher forms of an interest rate.
Okay.
Than if we were to, partner, merge, or acquire the business on how we would approach that. And we could actually cut that interest expense.
Right.
So, sorry, I don't want to get too far ahead.
No.
But it's a key pulse on how the business is doing.
Yeah. And, you referenced, the aspect of when you're looking at it. Mm-hmm. So are you looking at, EBITDA every day? Are you evaluating that as you're going through planning processes and staffing? When are you as a CEO looking at that?
Well, because it's part of our roll-up strategy, I'm looking at it monthly.
Okay.
And want a pulse on it, you know, even within like our weekly reports, I have a pulse on where that might be going.
Yeah.
You know, I think you definitely want to, you know, at minimum, you want to understand where you're at from a quarterly perspective, a year-over-year perspective, and an annual perspective for sure. Like those things are important, but I'll stop there and have some more.
That
I could say on it, but I'll pause there for a second.
No, that's good. So as you're looking at EBITDA and you're navigating it in different ways, what determines how you look at it? Is it all profitability? Do you look at it where you can cut or where you can save? What direction are you looking at it?
When I'm looking at it from, like, if we're going to potentially look at partnering with a business,
or
acquiring it, you know, in our cases, what we've done is mergers on those. It's not so much a cut. It's more of what can we do in-house or, you know, hey, you know, some of these interest programs are, you know, if someone's using like a capital company, I mean, it's not hard to be paying 15, 20, 25% annual rate. Now, I haven't even looked at ones that were utilizing something like that in the last year prior to that.
So
my expectation is if we were looking at more that were in that scenario, that's probably raised even higher.
Yeah.
Right. So if we can, let's say someone's at a, let's just say 20%.
Yep.
We can cut that in half. Well, we're going to save interest expense big time for the company. So, but there are things within like, okay, what are the operational expenses within the business? Mm-hmm. How is this working? You know, or, you know, what could we do? Is there anything within our set of vertical integrations that we could do to make this more efficient?
Yeah.
The answer is generally, yes, in the workforce solutions world.
Got it. And that's where you've seen, again, I use the word cuts. It's not necessarily the cuts. It's more of a refinement to gain that.
Refinement, transition. I mean, it could be stopping working with an outsourced solution and bringing it in-house.
Yeah.
It could be still working with that solution, but kind of doing a little bit of both. Or setting up transition periods with that with some of the outsourced vendors. It depends.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the things that certainly you've noticed is this is a great way to grow business when you refine those things. For people listening, what do they need to know?
Well, you want to track this and you want it growing, right? Like everyone wants their company to grow, and you can grow it by revenue. You can grow it by, you know, all these, like this is my favorite way to evaluate the growth of a business.
Okay.
It's also my favorite way to value the business, right? So if someone's got X amount in EBITDA, there's a lot of things that go into this.
Yep.
We'll do an episode on this specifically, but like the valuation of the business.
Okay.
What's the multiple on that EBITDA?
Yeah.
And there's other ways to put a value on a business, but this is my favorite way to do it because this is – you get a feel for what's actually the business is actually done. And yes, you can factor in potential and stuff like that, but this is more of a reality of what's going on.
Okay.
So the only further reality to look at beyond that, in my, there's more, but like one of the main ones would be like actual cash in the bank. And again, not to get too technical, but if, you know, well, if you're looking at an accrual business, if they're on the accrual accounting method, and they might not have collected all that EBITDA.
Right, right. Well,
they're a cash accounting method. They would have. So
okay.
Then you kind of got that within that number.
Yeah. And the greatest way to, from your standpoint, to change the evaluation of that company within it?
To grow your EBITDA.
Yeah.
So that again, that's what I have most experience with. I want to make sure I'm clear. There's other ways to value businesses,
right?
And like something that has like a like something that has like some kind of like key asset behind a behind it or padding it or something. Like, I just don't have exposure to right. some of that stuff. There are other ways to do it. Where I've seen, looked at some businesses that we consult with, we haven't looked to buy one this way, but some of the other models, I've seen a lot of those deals not go through. It's because the buyer and the owner can't agree on the potential.
Got it.
So I think that this is a good reality check and like just find the right multiple within, like if there's all this potential, right? Or it's the team's built, you know, properly, all these things. We'll talk about that in a different episode. But if all those things are set up, well, it would just raise the multiple on that EBITDA number.
So okay.
That's my sweet spot for looking at something. What do you do to grow this? Right? Well, what we've done in all our businesses, right, and what we recommend is that the executive team's compensation structure is tied to EBITDA growth in some capacity.
Okay.
So if you want a certain outcome, compensate, accordingly to yeah. it is the simple answer on this. So, this is what you get within this podcast that you don't get in other things. But like, okay, I want to grow my net income. I want to grow my EBITDA number, I own this business or I'm responsible for this section of the business. Well, if you want to grow your business, are you compensating your people this way, your key mm-hmm. people this way?
Yeah.
You either are or you aren't. If you aren't, I recommend you look at it. And if you're running a key department, like maybe you bonus off of growth, right? Well, is your bonus tied to EBITDA growth? If it isn't, that would be something you might want to bring up as a suggestion.
Yeah.
Because what owner isn't going to be happy with their EBITDA advancing forward?
Yeah. And the reason I believe you say that, and correct me if you're wrong, is because some businesses are just basing it off of their sales versus everything else that's going in, into the equation. That's why the EBITDA equation overall is mm-hmm. so important, because some people are just saying, oh, you're a great salesperson. I remember just being in the background listening to you consult with a company. Mm-hmm. And as you did, they were talking about these different margins that mm-hmm. this person was selling a product, a ton of it, but they still weren't making any money. Mm-hmm. And I saw like the fireworks going off in your mind, yeah. Again, sitting in the background, running cameras and whatnot. And that's why to you, this is so important, is because it's more than just the amount of sales. It's the totality of the package that makes that. And is that the reason why you're telling everybody that's listening today that this is a great way to not only spur your people on, but also hold them accountable?
Yeah, if you want to grow your business and do it in a profitable way, this is a great way to hold the line on that and track that, and not, oh, we ballooned revenue by 50%, but in the process of doing that, we caught into our net income by
47%.
It's like a net, and now we got bigger receivables and more risk and all. Like, so it's just a good way to look at this and like, are you getting, okay, you're getting some top line growth. Well, is that getting to the end result?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's periods of time where that's not the focus. Maybe top line is the goal of a company. I would say if that's a goal, like do both as much as you can. But, within the comp plans, there's some other things. Like if you had EBITDA as one factor, well, there are, you can put in like key objectives for a year or a quarter or whatever, and you could tie it to some other things.
Okay.
So there's ways to still do both. But to me, this is just the number one, and we've covered the high points on why.
Yeah. Is there a reason that you've seen that people wouldn't be using?
They're not familiar with the term.
They don't know how to get to it.
They don't know to ask. They're not focused on their overall operations. This isn't a number. If you're just going to your accountant once a quarter, once a year, like, which would be worse. But like, if you're only doing those things bare minimum, mm-hmm. like you're probably also getting the bare minimum from them. And if you're not asking them for this, they're not producing this number.
Yeah.
You know, for you. Some banking relationships will get you more, you know, accustomed to this because they'll talk to you about it.
Okay.
Not all, and I don't really know a percentage on how many do or don't.
Sure.
I know it's come up in some of our banking discussions. It's something we're already aware of and tracking, but it's something that we at times have talked about with our banking team.
You know, I heard you talk about, you know, operators, presidents, business owners, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. How far down the line, I don't even like saying that verbiage, but how many people should know that number?
It's a great question. I mean, I can only speak to, it's probably easiest to speak to my business, and I don't want to get into anything. Wasn't prepared for that. So
yeah.
Usually if we give a client an example, we switch the situation up a little bit.
Right, right, right.
Not prepared to do that right now. So let's use ourselves as the example. So the operators.
Yep.
And then anyone that has like a director title. So
okay.
For us, that means they're running a business unit. Well, like they need to understand the numbers for their business unit and how that impacts the overall.
Yeah.
So it's less important at that level. But even within, like we just did, it's not out yet, but an episode on synthetic equity.
Right.
And so at our director level, part of that synthetic equity release is tied to this EBITDA number.
Yeah.
So they need to understand it at that level because it's part of how they get
caught. Yeah. The reason I ask it is because I think from my purview, some of the reason that business owners don't go into it, they don't dive into it, is because they're like, this is my knowledge. And I've heard you very clearly say, like, yes, you better make sure it's your knowledge. But I think that's a barrier to some people, that they're like, oh, well, then everybody has to know this. And everybody doesn't have to know it. It's the right people in the right seats that have to know it.
Sure. And I think that, like, you can probably get into, like, too much information, like, too early within roles.
Yeah.
Roles for us kind of below director level, like, hey, this is still important. And like, we have some information like within like even our synthetic equity program videos and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, you might hear this or hear about it, or, you know, they may hear about, you know, the team overall may hear about something like that in like a weekly update or a monthly meeting. But it's more so tied to the outcomes that produce that,
yeah,
and the things that are more like, hey, like it comes down to like, what's our in-process number?
Yeah.
Like, well, that's ultimately, we want to grow our EBITDA. Well, if we're not doing the daily tasks that put us in a position to continue to grow, I can promise you we're not going to get the result.
Mm-hmm.
So let's focus on not so much the result, especially as the team members don't have as much responsibility to like run a business unit. Well, if they don't need to understand necessarily a P&L or their budget, or, you know, their how their unit impacts the
greater EBITDA, yeah,
right? Well, no, like focus them in on like, hey, like we want you to have X amount of people in process because that's going to produce a positive result for the people that you work with, the clients that you work with, the candidates, and ultimately you're going to achieve your objective when you're up over this number, like consistently. This is a blueprint to you achieving your objective. Well, at the end of the day, that individual doing that contributes to that overall.
Yeah. Yeah, I know today we wanted to make this kind of an overview, high level,
yep,
and we want to dive into, you know, some other aspects of this in the future. To wrap this episode up today, is there anything else you want to slide into this one?
I think we covered
like the
overall, but I would assess, you know, within this, like, hey, what's my understanding of this?
Yep.
If I don't have a full understanding of it, like, no big deal. Like, just go get one. There's books you can read.
Yep.
I'm sure there's YouTube videos. There is, you know, you could Google it, right? If you have a good CPA, you can start to ask them, you know, questions about this. I mean, this is stuff that we consult on, right? But like, there's so many options. Like, just get a basic understanding would be like phase one.
Yep.
listening to this is I think a good start.
Yep.
And then you just go watch a couple more videos on that. If you're not strong in accounting, like that's okay. Lean on that professional.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got phase one out. Well, phase two would be like, how am I integrating this into, like, is this a part of my strategy within the business for growth? If it's not, okay, let's get that worked into my strategy, you know, moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, so that would be phase two, is getting it actually like a part of what you do. Make it a part of language at the right level. Like that would be a good step one and step two.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Well, Aaron, thanks again for sharing on this today. I know there's a couple of exciting things coming up on the podcast here. We've just had a great time planning future episodes and stuff like that. I'm excited for people to hear them. And we truly are. We're excited for you to hear them. So if you haven't liked and subscribed to Sparking Success, please do so. Go ahead, leave us some comments. We'd love to hear from you. Share this with someone who you specifically know would benefit from it. And Aaron, thanks again for sharing today. I hope not only you have a great day, because it's a special one. It's Aaron's birthday, everybody out there. He would hate for me to say that. But
well, you just did.
I know, but I just did. We hope that each of you guys have a great day, too. We'll see you.